but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I feel like that bump music, Steven, is like, feels like it should be like 1977, you know?
Well,
am I wrong? Yeah?
I know Nick Cody likes this song.
Nick Cody.
He DM'd me the first time I played it.
Former University of Oregon offensive lineman turned stand-up comedian. He is joining us now. He'll be at the spring game. He wants to go check out Oregon. He's also doing a comedy show in conjunction with the spring game. What do you like about that song, Nick Cody?
You know, thank you, John, for giving me the time, and kind of thanks Stevie Ray Vaughan back there, kicking it with The Devil Without a Cause from Kid Rock. A little off in your era, and probably one of the only Kid Rock songs I think I still like.
I like it. I'm okay being off with my era. It just sounds like it was from the 70s. Had a little bit of, you know, I felt like I should have had like a tie-dyed jacket on or something like that. Hey, before we get into, I want to ask you about love of the game. I want to ask you about a bunch of different things in spring football, but you have a Tapped Out comedy special going on at Ranchito Grill in Springfield, Oregon, coming up on Saturday in conjunction with this spring game and the Civil War football game. Can you tell us how people get tickets? I think it's 8 o'clock at Ranchito Grill, but how do you get tickets to this thing?
It is absolutely free admission, John. So for everybody coming out for the spring game and especially the Civil War baseball game, if you don't want to get caught on I-5 immediately after, come hang out, stick around, have some Mexican food at Ranchito Grill, and it will be free admission. Donations are accepted, and there will be a couple raffle items available, including some Tapped Out merchandise that I've just rolled out, which is pretty awesome and exciting. I'm very thankful to Ranchito Grill and the new owner, Tony Rivera, who's allowed us to continue the tradition that we've kind of built up with a lot of Oregon games or coinciding with the spring game. Typically have a meetup and kind of a comedy open mic, but this time I'm bringing a couple of comedians from up here in Seattle that will be able to entertain and give everybody a really good time.
Big Time Mel will be there. Tell us about Big Time Mel.
Big Time Mel is a Chicago-based comedian that moved out to Seattle about 2 years ago. She's been a Tapped Out veteran for me. She's hosted a couple of my shows and participated in about 5 of the 25 I've produced now. And she will be our main feature. So very excited for her to do about, 15, 20 minutes of comedy.
Nick Cody with us. You can find him on social media platforms at Nick R. Cody. Nick, we've been talking about love of the game. There's some questions in this draft about, are these players playing because they love it? Are they playing because they love money? What motivates an athlete? Let's go back to when you were playing. Let's go back to 2012-ish. And you tell me, in that Duck locker room, you had a lot of talented guys. You had guys that would go on and play in the NFL. Were people playing football at Oregon because they loved football or because they loved uniforms or because they loved the idea that they could get to the NFL? What was motivating that locker room?
I don't know if you're going to love or hate this answer, but I take love of the game as seriously and with the same response that Chip Kelly did with injuries in the Oregon program. It's day to day. I really think that there's a lot made about, because everybody can show their affection for the game in different ways. And I think throughout your experience, especially in college, especially in my era where, we were getting compensation in the form of the scholarship and the monthly stipend, which, at the time felt amazing for somebody that wouldn't have had the access to college otherwise. I was appreciative of it, but, those days when you're walking into a class with ice packs on both your knees and one of your shoulders, and you can only sleep on one side at night, that really tests your love of the game. And I know, especially towards the end of my career, I know that it waned a little bit. It wasn't the same thing it was when I came in fresh, bright-eyed, into what I thought were the greatest locker rooms in college football until they made entirely new locker rooms. And then I just realized how important was, I think, by the end of my career, like, doing it for your teammates. And I think there's a lot that can go into people's perception, how much they love the game. But I think the great thing scouts do is they go and they ask the teammates, because those are the guys that are going to know just how much the guy loves the game. And I think there's a lot of talk about everything that, you know, Shadur does. I think everything is always going to be made hyperbole of, but guy obviously is enthused by the game. Maybe he just shows it differently. I know I wasn't allowed to even wear long-sleeved shirts for my offensive line career, so I can't imagine what it's like to be able to wear a wrist watch. So I don't know. I'm not allowed to show my love for the game as an offensive lineman as, I guess, a quarterback could, but I think everybody, it's really, really different. So I think the measurement of that from NFL GMs is tough. Like, I don't know how they're going to be able to do that accurately.
Could you tell, playing alongside guys on that Oregon team, could you look over and could you go, hey, does LaMichael James love this? You know, does Marcus Mariota love football? Like, could you tell over the course of a season, like, if I asked you at the end of the year, hey, which of these guys, does he love the game? Or, you know, maybe he's lukewarm. Could you tell? Or maybe were there some guys there that maybe didn't grow up with a lot who were eyeing the potential NFL opportunity with, like, hey, this is a difference maker for my family?
Yeah, I would say on the Oregon teams, man, it was hard because we all really bought in and had a brotherhood and played for each other. I really think at the next level, and my limited experience in the Canadian Football League in Edmonton, you could tell who loved it because those were guys that, you know, could have been moving on to higher paying jobs. I think at those levels, it's easy to tell because those guys are mostly there for the love. I imagine at the NFL, it is incredibly hard. But I know in my time at Oregon, I was very, very fortunate because honestly, like, I still see most of my teammates to this day, and I still have that same love and passion for them. And therefore, at the time, you know, that made me love the game more.
Nick Cody, former University of Oregon offensive lineman, now a stand-up comedian, Tapped Out Comedy. We'll have a show going on at 8 o'clock on Saturday in conjunction with the spring game at Oregon and the Civil War baseball game going on. You can stop by the Ranchito Grill, and you can see some comedy at 8 o'clock on Saturday right there in Springfield. Great great stop on your way home. Cody, let me ask you this. Okay, so spring game happened on Saturday. Dan Lanning came on yesterday, and he said, look, here's a chance for guys to, you know, it's one thing to catch a pass in practice. It's another thing to do it in front of 30,000 people at Autzen Stadium. How different is that spring game experience, and what do you remember of maybe the Chip Kelly era spring games?
Oh, man. Well, my first year, you know, was the first spring that Chip had. So there was a real excitement to it. You know, everybody wanted to know what's this team going to look like. And it really is a different level when you're in there in a packed Autzen Stadium. Because, you know, we get to practice out there plenty of times when it's empty. But there's just a different vibe, especially, you know, as a student, you know, the students that are there. I still remember, you know, that being the first time, like, looking over on the sidelines and seeing, you know, kids I was going to class with in the stands and rooting for me and just the whole vibe. My family was there, you know, because we lived so close. They came to every spring game. But it's just always, it's a different level. You have to lock in. You're only going to get limited numbers of live reps during the spring, and this is it. This is the last chance. So it was always a different level. And at least in my experience, I always came away from those games with, I think, really important reps that showed, hey, this is the progress that not only I've made in the winter, but what I need to do in the summer to build, to, you know, make some of my weaknesses my strengths and then build upon my strengths.
I am thinking about guys who rose to the occasion in a spring game. Did you ever see a teammate where you thought, oh, this guy might be a backup or he might be a contributor? Anybody really just pop in a spring game and make you think, hey, wow, the next season could be big for this guy?
I mean, yeah, you kind of saw little flashes all the time, but it's hard to, I do remember two things in specific that I got one series I had to start in my first spring against Will Tukuafu, and I just remember being so nervous and just thinking, oh man, I hope he's done after the first series. Then once it was over, I was like, oh, finally. And then I remember from that same spring game, he had already had plenty of highlights, but a guy that I finally got to be on the field with in person and realized the NFL-level talent was LeGarrette Blount, because I believe in that spring game, he had lost his shoe and then still downfield hurdled somebody. And I still remember being downfield trying to find a block and just going, oh, my God, realizing he didn't even have a shoe on for that. That was one of those plays you're like, that guy's just special.
LeGarrette was a force, blunt force trauma, the other BFT. What was that guy like in practice when he made contact with a would-be tackler?
Man, I'm glad I wouldn't be able to tell you, man. If he was running into me, it was from behind him to get away. But he was, I mean, I think a lot of people don't know exactly how big he was because I'm telling you, in the offseason, that guy, he could walk around with the offensive line group and get lost.
I think he was just, I mean, wasn't surprised to see his success in the NFL, but he really got it going at Oregon. Nick Cody with us. Spring game for Oregon coming up on Saturday. The Ducks would like you to know they're really pushing it today, I noticed. But, you know, I got a few emails from them. The spring game starts at 1 o'clock. Parking lots open at 10 a.m. They want me to tell you that. They want me to tell you that the Fan Fest and the shuttles will start working at 10 a.m. And the gates open at 11:30. And then they kick off at 1, and then they've got some post-game activities.
And don't forget
activities. Your canned food.
You've got to get the canned food donation.
Your non-perishables, drop those at the gate. What are you looking for in a spring game, Nick Cody? You go down, you want to see your team, you want to see how good they're going to be. Are your eyes on the offensive line?
Oh, of course. I want to see not just the offensive line, but how they respond to Coach Leek Terry. Especially, you know, we got a little bit of a gap there now that we've kind of got that O-line expertise going back to the Beavers. A little disappointed about that, but it'll be interesting to see, especially for me, how much we protect these quarterbacks on both sides of the ball for both teams. I know everybody's really excited about the quarterback battle, but I think it's all about keeping them clean, and I think when you lose guys like a Johnny Cornelius and Josh Connerly Jr., I think that's obviously as a former tackle myself, I know how important those edges are, so that's where I'm going to be watching.
I am curious to know what you think about this. The portal will close on Friday, tomorrow. The game's being held on Saturday. Can you imagine being a player at Oregon and trying to figure out where am I on the depth chart? Where do I stand with Coach Lanning? You haven't played the spring game. The portal's closing. I think it's smart that Oregon's putting, you know, the game where it is on the calendar. But how much more complex does that feel or sound to you as a guy who played at that level?
I mean, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the reason Coach Lanning has the guys he has and, you know, hasn't seen a lot of top guys transfer out while he's been here in his tenure, I think that's a huge part, at least in my experiences. He's a great communicator. He's a guy I would play for. And I felt like I had that really great communication with my offensive line position coach. So I think that's a huge piece of it. And if those pieces move and don't fit, then I understand why players would be leaving. But I think the lack of attrition that Oregon's seen over the past couple of years at the coaching position has led itself a great deal to the recruiting front and keeping people here. And especially, you know, those guys that maybe aren't getting reps right now, they have, as long as they believe in that fellowship and brotherhood and just doing things the right way and they keep getting better, as long as that communication is there from coach that, you know, hey, you're going to get your opportunities, but we're going to have to push you and you're going to have to push someone else to get that spot. I think that level of competition is great. You know, greatness breeds other greatness. And those guys pushing each other and being on the same wavelength as the coaches is huge, especially if, yeah, your spring game's a day after the window closes. Like, you really got to trust because, yeah, a lot of these spring games now feel like, to some teams, just look like showcases for other players. So I think at least Oregon's kept up a tradition of having it be meaningful and a great opportunity to expose the Eugene and surrounding communities to new players and what we're going to see in the fall.
Nick Cody with us, former Ducks offensive lineman. You may remember him from that 2012-ish era of Oregon football and Chip Kelly. Cody, let me ask you this. Like, a lot of times older guys will look back and go, man, I wasn't getting the money that they're getting today. Do you think about that? Do you think about, like, because you were part of the generation of players that you were happy to get your stipend. You were happy to get meal at a training table. You were happy to be on the team. Now, if you were playing today, you'd be making $500,000. You'd be making $250,000 or have an opportunity to get into the portal. Do you think about that, or can you?
I mean, I also think about the inverse. I'd probably be paying fines for every one of my false starts, too, so I'd probably still be in debt to the school if I think about it. But no, I'm glad I'm at least, you know, not an older guy yet. I'm getting there. But I'm glad comedy has given me the perspective of what it takes to go out and do something you love for free, because and knowing it's not always going to go well, because it really reminds me of why I love football and how much I was able to dedicate myself to it. And I think, man, there are guys still to this day, and I think we got a lot of them on that Oregon team. I think Bryce Betcher is like one of those guys. You can just see it in the way he plays and the opportunities that he has in baseball tells you everything. A guy just loves football. And, yeah, I don't think that will ever change. No matter how much money, you'll still have those guys. And I was one of those guys for a time. So I am happy for all the experiences I've had. And it's just overall, the monetary benefits would have been great, but the life experience. And I wouldn't be able to do comedy if it weren't for the experiences I had in football.
What do you mean by that? Because did it prepare you for being on stage?
Oh, yeah. If you can fall start in the Rose Bowl in front of 100,000 people in the red zone, having a joke bomb is no problem. No problem.
Yeah. And did you know you always wanted to do this? Like, were you a guy that would get up in front of the team at a team function and goof off or be at the front of the classroom? Or is this something you came to later?
I always had a passion for comedy, something instilled by just my parents. You know, they had great senses of humor and loved a lot of comedy. But two things in college specifically, I remember really pointing out that someday I want to perform. And it was number one, when you're a rookie on the team, it used to be you had to sing in front of the team every single meal. And if you messed up the song lyrics, you know, you don't have to be the greatest singer, but just don't mess up the lyrics of the beat and you won't get booed. But I was one of the only guys that didn't get booed off stage. And we had to sing every single meal. Now it's just the big barbecue at the end of the fall camp. So that was one thing where I was like, oh, I've got stage presence, right? Then we went to the Rose Bowl. At least I hope they still keep some form of this tradition now. You know, when you're spending the time there for the bowl events, they have you go to the Hollywood Improv for a comedy show with known comedians. And the first time we went, our headliner was Joe Rogan. That was the Ohio State 2010 Rose Bowl game. And I remember thinking, not just the comedians were great, but I loved the responses from my teammates and just thinking of seeing where the comedy act was going, because I'd been to comedy shows, but not with an entire team. And then just realizing that was the same feel as getting up and having to sing in front of everybody, that's where it kind of all started connecting for me. And who knew, it just took, you know, a pandemic for me to realize, like, I should probably get to that.
I love it. I love that you're doing something that you enjoy. I know that a lot of our listeners don't know that, you know, you lost your father. And you know, you have dealt with the loss of a loved one. And I want to talk about your dad just a little bit before we go here. He would have been incredibly proud of you as a player, proud of what you're doing now as a comedian and being on stage and chasing your passion. You know, I know that your mom was a rock star in your life and still is. But, you know, you were battling a lot, weren't you, as a college player?
Yeah, I mean, mostly, you know, my dad passed away my junior year of high school, and I think that made, you know, anything that I would have experienced in college that would have probably, you know, emotionally set me off, it kind of put that to scale. So I think, you know, everything I went through in college and had to deal with was always put to that measuring stick, and it was always, hey, you know, we'll get through today because I know what it's like not to be able to see somebody at the end of the day. So yeah, he battled with colon cancer when I was in high school, passed away in 2006. And yeah, I remember every single game day. I wrote dad and then the date of his passing on my wrist tape. And that was in all my cleats. So anybody that's got a pair of my cleats out there, they always know, because it says something about my dad on them. And yeah, huge inspiration to me every single day, and big reason I'm here, and I keep persisting.
Another scene that came to mind for me is, you know, I had John Lovitz, the Saturday Night Live comedian and performer, in studio one day, Nick, and he started talking about his father. He got into comedy because of his father. He said his dad, who was a physician, wanted to be a comedian and didn't, and his dad passed away, and John Lovitz, it's part what inspired his comedy, you know, career. Do you remember your dad laughing? Your dad would have loved your comedy act.
I think he would have had a few pointers. My dad was definitely a comedian in his own right. I know him working as a correction sergeant. He was, you know, he had a different audience, but a different sense of humor. But I know everybody especially at his funeral, that worked with him knew that he had that sense of humor, and I'm glad he passed it on. Still remember a lot of times driving in the car with him and putting on, an old plug-in CD disc there that would skip every once in a while, and we put on some comedy CDs every once in a while. Stephen Lynch, I remember introducing him to Dave Chappelle shortly before he passed and being like, this guy, I think he's going to be pretty big, Dad.
You end up right about that. I knew you got it from somewhere. Nick Cody, you can see his act Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Ranchito Grill. He'll be there along with some special guests, including Big Time Mel, right there in Springfield at Ranchito Grill, 8 o'clock Saturday, in the wake of the Civil War baseball game and the spring football game. Nick Cody, I appreciate you joining us, man.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the time and hope to see you and everyone else, hopefully at the spring game, if not Ranchito Grill.
There you go. There he goes. Comedian, former college football player Nick Cody. Love that guy. All right, leave it here. Our big splash coming up. Alex Molden will talk about life in the NFL coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.